Well, I get the joy of continuing our series, No Place Like Home. And if you missed last week, it is one to watch, to listen to. Caleb, Pastor Caleb, took us to Jairus' house, and he talked about us having choices in life. And just to review briefly, he gave and talked about three choices that we have: to choose vulnerability rather than shame, to choose faith rather than fear, and to choose to be influenced by hope instead of despair. And I really recommend that you take the time out and let that sink into your heart, because it was such a great, fantastic message. And then for us to get going into where we're headed today, I just want to start with a little story that I think would get us on track. It just starts with this. One summer night during a severe thunderstorm, a mother was tucking her small son into bed, and she was about to turn the light off when he asked in a trembling voice, "Mommy, will you stay with me all night?" Smiling, the mother gave him a warm, reassuring hug and said tenderly, "I can't, dear. I have to sleep in Daddy's room." A long silence followed. The child thought over what his mother had just said, and at last it was broken by a shaky voice saying, "The big sissy." All right. You'll understand why that story in a moment. But today we're going to move into a different place, a different house. We've looked at Jesus visiting different homes, but now this is a different time because Jesus has died. He was buried and resurrected, and now people, it's being circulated around Jerusalem that people are seeing Jesus. And so here we're going to enter in a home in John 20. If you want to turn there, put your finger there in your Bible, because we're going to be referring to it all morning. John 20, verses 19 through 22, it says this: "On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you.' And with that, he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" Now, I also want to look at the complementary passage in Luke 24, because we have the Gospels for a reason, and they take different viewpoints. And just to give a little background of where Luke picks up, in Luke 24, verse 33, he's picking up with two men who had been traveling, and suddenly another man joins them, and they are so depressed over what just took place that they're talking about this, and this man joins them and asks them, "Why are you so sad?" And they're like, "Well, are you a stranger around here? Do you not know what just happened? That they crucified this man? They crucified our Messiah?" And he begins to share with them, and he begins to open up the scriptures and talk about Jesus. And they're like, their hearts begin to swell in them. Their hearts begin to be like, "Wow, this is so powerful." And he makes like he's going to go on, and the two are like, no, stay with us. We love this conversation. This is good stuff. I mean, you are showing us so much out of the scriptures. They come with us. So they went into a house, and they broke bread, and literally Jesus took the bread and he broke that bread. In that moment, their eyes were opened and they saw that it was Jesus that was walking with them. And so we pick up there in verse 33, and it says, "They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem, and there they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. And while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost." I mean, they were in such fear, you guys, that they're like, "This is a ghost." Full-grown men trembling. Verse 38, "And he said to them, 'Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have.' And when he said this, he showed them his hands and feet." Let's go ahead and pray this morning. Lord, we thank you for the power of your word. And Lord, I'm just praying that this morning it would have access like it's never had before, that we would see things from the scripture that we need for our life today. Lord, I pray that there would be a connection point right now with heaven, that Holy Spirit, you would land in this place and our hearts would literally be set on fire today. In your name I pray, amen. Amen. Well, what a great passage of scripture, because we get the inside scoop. You know, sometimes when you're outside the house, everybody has their presentable face they have right outside the house. Like, I've got it together. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. It's all good. But this is different. We see a group of guys that have stuff they need to deal with. There are things going on. There is fear in their lives, and there is junk there. And, you know, outside we can look like, yeah, I'm okay. I'm a Christian. I have faith, really. But inside we're a mess. Well, this gives us a look inside that the apostles didn't have it all together all the time. I hope that gives you a little hope. You're made of the same stuff. Jesus and the disciples had just been coming off a very long couple of weeks. And, I mean, imagine the roller coaster of emotions these guys would have been on. I mean, they had just experienced the triumphant entry into Jerusalem not that long ago, where people were shouting praises to God. Hosanna in the highest! I mean, they couldn't keep quiet. The town was erupting with praise. This is the Son of David! And they were literally taking their jackets off and tearing down palm branches and putting it down so Jesus could ride into Jerusalem. And they're like, yes, this is our guy. We chose the right one. We're following him. We're with him. And it's such a moment. But then suddenly the atmosphere begins to shift as one of in their group turns Jesus in and betrays Jesus for money. And they're thinking, gosh, weren't we with this guy? Judas, what is going on with him? What is he thinking? How could he? He was there. He was doing the miracles with us. He was with on this journey with us. And it starts to sink in that, well, we're up here, but I feel like we're now down here. But it got worse because suddenly they take Jesus. And now they're beating him and beyond recognition. They put him up on a cross and they didn't even leave anything. I mean, they stripped him bare. He was naked and they took everything and they just shamed him in front of him, everybody, and they were mocking Jesus. And the disciples are like, what is going on? What just happened out there? And they were assembled. So they went back and they put themselves in that feast of love, that place where Jesus had the Last Supper with them. And they're like, let's get back there, you guys. Let's get back into that room. And they assemble there because of fear. Fear. Trapped inside. They dead bolted the door. You know, they got the locksmith out the day before and made sure that there was enough locks on there that nobody could get in. And here they are hanging out. And they're shut up with each other's doubts, with each other's confusion, with each other's unbelief, with each other's fear. You know, I don't know about you, but it's, you know, like misery loves company. Caleb, can you come join me on the platform? I mean, this is an intense time. Their leader, their friend has just been betrayed and crucified. And, you know, some of us with misery, you know, we don't call the person we know will comfort us and lift us up. We like to call somebody who might be in the misery with us.
So fun.
Yes. Can you believe this happened? It's so bad out there. It's so dark. We could be next on the hit list.
So true.
I mean,
so bad.
If they took Jesus, they're coming for us.
Totally.
Totally coming
so
for
bad.
Us. So it's one thing, like in our marriage, if one of us is having a bad day, a bad week, a bad month. But it's a whole nother thing when both of us are having that. Lord, help us, right?
We should all have a rule that we don't have bad days at the same time.
Right?
That's a good.
But the disciples were all having a bad day at the same time. All of them together. There's no comfort going on there. And they were sharing in the misery together. And so they started to build themselves inside of a room. Hopelessness. And unbelief. And fear. And discouragement. And they begin to lock those doors and seal themselves inside from what was happening in the world. And they're doing it together. It's so, whoa. They thought, where can we go from here? I mean, it is so dark out there. Look, it's comfortable in here. I got to be with this good-looking guy. Woo! Okay.
TMI.
I thought you were going to kiss me, not say TMI. Okay. It's comfortable. It's cozy in the world. I mean, the walls that we built, in the locked doors that we shut everybody else. Like, we can be together. We can fellowship together. The only problem is that they were fellowshipping. Thank you. They were fellowshipping out of around hopelessness, around despair, around misery. I mean, we can even spiritualize our lack sometimes, church. You know, you do this. Spend time sharing in your low points, but not in a positive way, and you call it fellowship when really it's fear. You lock out the world, and we're fellowshipping, but actually you're doing that because you're in fear and not in love. And you know how it is that you can talk yourself into a frenzy? You can talk yourself into a good depression. Some of us are excellent at this. Like, we start watching the news and the spiral starts happening, right? Did you see what happened today? It is dark out there. It is evil. This world is evil. Shut the door. Close, you know, literally, shut the door. Okay. Lock it up. Seal myself in my house. It's so depressing. You know, I think about girls' slumber parties when I was growing up, and we used to have, like, Fear Fest, you know? I mean, that would be a better name for it. We'd watch, like, a horror movie, and then we'd tell, horrible stories and scare each other out of our wits, so we're just scared, senseless. I mean, we would work ourselves into a frenzy. Like, any noise the rest of the night, someone's screaming, you know? Now, you may not be a girl and may not have those fun slumber parties, but we can still talk ourselves into something. And these disciples were in the misery together. You know what it's like to be in the misery together. It didn't seem like there's hope. But what about if it was the reverse, that somebody starts talking about the positive? Someone starts talking about the things that God did do. Someone starts remembering that Jesus raised this little girl from the dead when everybody else was mocking, and Jesus walked in there and just said, oh, it's little girl, arise, and took her up by the hand. What happens when we start letting our words be hope-filled? What happens when we start letting our words be full of the victory and the miracles and the transformation of Christ? What happens when you go back through your history and go, hey, God met me here and God did this here? I mean, what goes on? Something changes. Philippians 4 tells us, it's interesting that Philippians 4 verse 8 is sandwiched by peace. Both in the beginning, verse 7, that the peace of God would rule our hearts and minds. But then it says, but finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Or what about Psalm 42? I love this psalm. It's like the song of singing the blues, you know? He's like, I had some great days, and we were like praising God, and suddenly everything went south. And he says in verse 5, why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. There's something that happens when we start talking ourselves into a God moment, talking yourself into faith. I used to love in our college days, as us Bible college students, there's quite a big group of us, and this is what we would do. We would hang out and we'd talk ourselves into God moments. Like, we would just talk about Jesus left and right. I mean, I think every letter I wrote to Caleb when he was gone overseas when we were dating was like scripture, pretty much, you know, besides I love you, you know, in between the scripture verses or whatever. But I was just like, I want to talk us into a moment of faith, into a moment of hope, into into a moment of release of his life. And we would just stir each other up. And God is calling us to do that. And here these two show up into this miserable place, into these closed doors. These two that have experienced Jesus show up and they're trying to explain to them, our hearts were on fire when he was talking to us. He's alive, you guys. Why are you in this place? He's alive, but it wasn't sinking in. And I know there are times, and you've been there, where no matter what somebody else says, it doesn't get you out of that pit. It doesn't get you out of those barriers or out of those walls. And even as hard as you may try, nothing's going to help you unless Jesus shows up on the scene. Wow. So the apostles were locked in that their own fears and unbelief, and it wasn't sinking in. The unforgiveness, even towards the leaders who had mistreated Jesus, and they're thinking, I could be next on the hit list. This could be us. The darkness and wickedness overwhelmed them, and I really think they, for a moment, like, let's just get out of the action. Let's remove ourselves into a more comfortable place. Let's lock ourselves inside. Let's hide the defense mechanism of hiding ourselves away in the house. They weren't the first people to hide themselves away in the house. Jonah hid himself away when he didn't want to go to the city of Nineveh. He's like running to Tarshish. He's going the opposite direction. But God's like, no, no, no. You can't hide yourself away. I have 120,000 people who need to hear your message. And I know the response of their hearts when they hear your messages, they're going to turn to me. So he created a fish, great whale, to get Jonah back. Elijah hid in Mount Horeb when everything looked dark and looked bleak. I mean, this is a prophet of God, one here that hears God's voice. I mean, he's like substantial in what he was doing in the earth. I mean, just effective ministry. And suddenly discouragement and despair overtakes him and hopelessness overtakes him. And he goes running away to hide. And God's like, what are you doing here? Get back to where you're supposed to be. Go commission these other men. Moses hid on the backside of the desert because he was overwhelmed with the problems at hand. He was overwhelmed what his generation was facing. He didn't see how he could be a solution, how he could be an answer. And so he hid himself away. The disciples are doing the same thing. They're hiding themselves away in a locked room with each other. They're like, circle the wagons, boys. It's us against them. It's us against the world. If you think about it, they're probably mulling over Jesus' words and what he said, that we are to be in this world, but not of this world. So that gives us reason then to separate ourselves, right? To live locked in the room. Didn't he say, in this world you will have tribulation? You will have troubles. I can't really remember what the other part he spoke was. But I definitely remember him saying that we're going to have trials. We're going to have troubles. Well, we're facing those today, you guys. But there are times that no matter who shares, no matter how hard you try, you're not getting through without Jesus showing up. And suddenly, as these two men begin to share with the others what God was doing and visiting, how he's visiting them, something that Jesus had spoken of in Matthew 18:20 happens. He says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And the scripture tells that Jesus suddenly was in the midst of them. He says, I'm coming in there, boys. You might not be able to get out, but I can get in. It doesn't matter what barriers, what closed doors there are. Jesus can get in. You know, they think they locked themselves out, but actually they're not. It's not about the room. It's about the heart, right? And they were locking out everything out of their heart. And Jesus is like, I'm coming in right into the midst, right into your storm. And Jesus likes to show up right in the middle of storms. It doesn't matter what kind of storm. You may not be in a storm of fear today, but you may be in a storm of addictions or habits or emotional storms or physical or marital storms or family or financial, or your business is going awry and you feel like it's topsy-turvy out there. It doesn't matter. Sometimes Jesus, you know, this is a great quote, sometimes the Lord calms the storm. Sometimes he lets the storm rage and calms his child. This experience that Jesus was coming to calm his children. He's like, yes, the world, there is trials, there's tribulations, there's storms going on, but I'm going to give you peace. And he speaks to them, peace be with you. Now, this is not to be like, hey, you guys, you need to buckle up here and act like nothing's wrong. No, this is more than just a howdy guys, hey there, and they're like, hey back. This was not just a casual greeting that Jesus was giving them. And it was more than just quietness to the soul, like, ooh, just a calm. It was deeper than that. What it means is that Jesus was saying, hey, I'm joining you together again with me. Peace is to be joined together with the Lord. And if you're joined together with him, it also means to be a prosperous soul. So when you're joined together with him, all the goodness that he is, all the greatness, all the miraculous that he is, gets to flow from him into your life. He's saying, peace be with you. All that I am flow through you into your life. The highest good is coming your way, he's saying. Wow. Isaiah 9:7 tells us the increase of his government and peace, there would be no end. A lot of times I like to focus on that scripture, and I always focus on government. But begin to think about, hey, his peace will never end. It's always increasing in our lives. His goodness, who he is, his connection to us is growing. But Jesus, as he spoke these words did not connect with the disciples' hearts. Because like I said, even though they were shut in a room, the place that was shut out was their heart. And Jesus is trying to speak, to get into their heart, access to the fear that was built around their hearts. And he speaks this word and it didn't move them. You ever spoke something to somebody that didn't move them? It didn't touch them like you thought it should. Didn't encourage them like you just knew if they would grasp that word, they would all be okay. Jesus is speaking this word to them, and the words just, it didn't seem like they were enough in this moment. And so Jesus does something here that we already read, and some of us think, well, wow, wouldn't he just turn and show him his glory? No, he says, I want you to see something. And he shows him his wounds. Look at my hands, look at my feet, look at my side. Would you look at me, Jesus is saying. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12 tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus. When you're struggling, when you're down, when you're discouraged, when fear has overtaken your life and you think it's all bleak out there, we are to look at Jesus, to fix our eyes. He said, would you look at me? And he's not asking that you look at him in his glory and his beautiful state, but he's like, look at my wounds. Look what I've been through, and yet I'm standing here with you today. I've overcome death. I've been to hell and back. I understand what it is to be rejected. I understand what it is to be low. I understand what it is to have trials and tribulations. Look, touch. Don't just look with your eyes. Go ahead and feel. Get the firsthand experience. Death has no hold on me, so you can come out of your house. Hebrews 2:15 tells us that Jesus came to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He came to deliver, to get you out of the house. Get you out of the trappings that the enemy wants to put around your heart. The places that you've added locks and barriers. He's saying, come out. He wants to knock down the doors, the barriers, the walls that have been there. He wants you to come out. Go ahead and turn to your neighbor and say, come out. Some of you got it. Come out. Knock down the doors. Jesus is coming to knock down those doors. So Jesus, when he is in our midst, what does he do? He's releasing peace. He's making us peaceful. He's giving us, making us a people that are full of peace. He also is making us a people in his midst that are joyful, that are full of His joy. Luke 24:41 says this, while they did not believe because of joy and amazement. They're like, this is too good to be true. Like, you ever receive news that you're just like, no way, no way, that's not possible, no way, no way. This was their no way moment. Like, this is like, what? You're back from the dead? He had told them over and over and over again. And it, I mean, they're like slow to believe, you know? You know, sometimes we are so much quicker to receive the bad news more than the good news. And he's like, come on, you guys. I told you I was going to come through this and go through this. Here I am. And they were so overjoyed at such good news. They're like, whoa, this is amazing. He gives them proof of his resurrection. He's like, bring me, not only touch me, bring me some food and some, you know, some goodies. He says, honeycomb, sugar. See, even Jesus ate natural sugar. Okay, sorry. That's for the holidays. You can just take that with you on your Thanksgiving day. Bless you. That's for you. Yeah, it seems organic, but okay. All right. But he's giving proof. He's like, watch me eat this. Watch me, like literally, watch me swallow this piece of fish right now. I'm not a ghost. Because they kept still believing, like, this is so good to be true. I can't even, you're standing right in front of me and I still can't receive it. Oh my gosh, how many times has God come to us and he wants to bring an encounter? He wants to bring a change. He wants to bring peace to our lives. He wants to bring joy to our lives. And yet we're standing there and we just can't receive it. It's too good to be true. God, you're just too good to be true. Those barriers that we've built is not the house, it's in our hearts. So Jesus not only gives them peace and makes them joyful, but Jesus in our midst makes us fruitful or useful. Again, Jesus says to them, peace be with you. They needed to hear it again. The walls, the barriers are starting to go down. And he says this, as the Father sent me, so I'm sending you. You're coming out of the house. You don't have to be trapped in here with fear, discouragement, hopelessness, despair, the raging wars, the raging storms. You're coming out. I'm sending you out. I'm sending you as a minister of my peace, a minister of reconciliation. I'm sending you, I'm filling you with my peace so you can bring that reconciliation. You can bring that joined, the relationship we have. You can bring that into the earth. Whoa. You're not of this world, but sent into the world. He's like redefining what it means. He's like, it doesn't mean you live so separate. He means that you are still sent into this world. And then he breathed on them and he blew into them the new creation. Just like if you go back to Genesis and when man was formed, God breathed into him the breath of life. Jesus again breathes into his disciples life. And they're born again because Jesus is resurrected from the dead. And they receive his spirit. They receive him. I believe God wants to breathe on us today. I believe God wants to encounter us today. Any place that we've broken, I mean, we've created walls. We put the, shut the door, put the bolt locks, you know, on there. I mean, he wants to free us today. He wants to completely bring us out. Jesus did not die so that you'd stay locked up and inside. It's time to come out. All right, just got to do all of them. If I scared you, I'm sorry. Tear down the walls. We're not to be wall builders, we're to be bridge builders. So if you're constructing walls of fear and barriers of hopelessness, it's time to reconstruct. It's time to change what you're building, tear down what you built, and build the bridges instead. I'm going to ask the worship team to come at this time because I believe this is our response time, is that God wants us to come out with salvation. He wants us to come out with the wholeness, with who he is, to come out of the house and realize, hey, this is what you died for. It's not that we would remain locked up in a house, locked up in fear, locked up in isolation, locked up in insecurity, locked up in hopelessness for your marriage, locked up in financial ruins, locked up. I feel like some of you have been paralyzed in fear. It's prevented you from even acting. You know what's interesting is that I was studying this out about fear. Something I didn't share earlier, but I feel led to share right now is, have you guys ever studied tigers? Randomly? Tigers? Yeah. You didn't think I was going to say that. You're like, pretty cool thing about tigers. I don't know how long ago they've discovered this, but the sound waves, before a tiger attacks, it actually lets out a roar. And the roar, we only hear a certain amount of it. Our hearing, I don't know if you know this, human hearing is limited in what we can hear, the levels and ranges we can hear. And what the tiger does is it looses a roar, and there's some levels that are so low that we, like the dog whistle, we don't hear it, but our body feels it. And so when that tiger lets off a roar before it attacks, it paralyzes its prey. Fear, paralyzed, stuck. And it's in that moment of inactivity that the tiger then takes over its victim. And I believe what God wants to free us from is sometimes it's not really hurt, it's not like it's something in the spirit world even that comes, and fear comes and it paralyzes us. We feel like I'm stuck in the house, I'm stuck in this place, how do I get out? And God wants to loose us. He wants to liberate us. He wants to blow on you the power of the Holy Spirit to live a free life. To live a life that says, hey, I'm going to bring peace in the earth. I'm going to bring joy in the earth. I'm going to be like Jesus. I'm going to be fruitful and useful in my generation. Others of us, I know that we think in locking out the problem, we're doing some good, but we're actually just locking ourselves inside. And I feel like that's such a simple truth, but that we recognize, hey, when I lock people out because of unforgiveness, I'm actually just locking myself up. God wants to speak to you today and give it into your heart. I know this is a challenge. Forgiveness, again, doesn't mean that everything goes right and that person changes or the circumstance changes, that the storm stops raging, but forgiveness frees you. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to be a storm walker. I don't even know if that's a thing. Water walker, I know, is a thing. But to walk in the midst of storms without any fear, without anxiety, because I'm connected to the one who is peace. I'm connected to the one who is joy. I'm connected to the one that no matter what's going on, I still have a purpose in this time. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand and pray. I'm going to read John 16:33 because I quoted part of it but didn't finish it early. It says, these things, Jesus is saying, these things I've spoken to you that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So you can look to his hands, to his feet, to his side today. Lord, we look to you today. I thank you for your word, and we look to you, our overcomer, our victorious one. And Lord, I pray right now that the Holy Spirit would move to liberate hearts, to where walls have been built and barriers have been built, that they would come down right now. That we would give you access to that place, that this word would land. This word would find a place. And God, it would come from the God encounters. It would come from this moment with you. Holy Spirit, help us to engage in our society, to engage in our culture, to not be ones that are trapped in the house, but the ones that are commissioned out. In your name I pray. Amen.